An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. Hey, young man, whilst you're sitting and eating your sandwich, can I have a chat with you on the radio for a second?
Sure.
Will you give me your time? Cool. Wait a second. How's my hair? I can see myself in your glasses. All right, what's your name, dude?
Austin.
Austin. Mm-hmm. Named after?
I don't know.
Austin, can I move your bag a little bit?
Sure.
I'm not going to steal it. Not going to hijack it. Okay. All right. Austin named after what?
I'm not sure.
The city.
My parents just decided on that.
They liked it. Mm-hmm. So you must be about 18, 19.
20.
Close. Yeah. I could work at a circus. All right. Because that's kind of Austin. It's kind of an 18, 19, 20-year-old name. Mm. Right? Okay. Dude, what are you studying?
Aerospace engineering.
Aerospace. You want to build planes.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Cool. What's Bernoulli's law?
Bernoulli's law?
Yeah.
A relationship between pressure and velocity.
Mm-hmm. Makes airplanes fly.
Arguably.
Huh?
Arguably.
Really? Is there debate now?
There's not really any reason or, like, definition of why airplanes fly. There's a few different theories, but no fact.
Huh. Why do you think scientists do experiments?
To figure out why things work.
Okay, to figure out why things work. Do you think that behind the desire to do experiments is a, whether they confess it or not, an understanding that there must be some sort of objective law creator? Otherwise, there would be no consistency in experiments. There would be no consistency in anything because it would be rather random, but somebody had to have written the laws. Therefore, we do experiments to see how those laws work.
I don't think that's directly the reason why people do, or scientists do.
But they wouldn't do experiments if there wasn't even an unspoken understanding that there must be something objective that created these laws. Otherwise, there would be no consistent outcome. Because if there weren't a lawgiver, there would be no consistency. There would no be an anticipated consistent outcome to any experiment. It would all be random.
Right.
Which says to me that somehow inside of our noggins, we believe that there is something bigger than us.
There's definitely a need to feel that there's something bigger than us.
That could be.
Right.
But that still doesn't address the issue of experimentation in science.
Mm-hmm.
The original science, when science started to explode out of the Middle Ages, if you will, were a group of Christians who realized that God is a God of order. This appears to be ordered. Let's experiment on the order to see how the orderer does it.
But then there have also been scientific expansion without the relationship with religion.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But even underneath atheistic experimentation, I think there's a hat tip that there is a God, because otherwise they wouldn't be bothering to do experiments. What would be the point? There's nothing controlling it. This is just, it's going to be chaos. But we notice that there's not chaos. There is order. Therefore, there is an orderer, because we know that there are consistent outcomes to certain things.
But there's also chaos as well. Not everything is predictable and controlled.
Well, I agree with that. Power that just goes kaboom does not order things. Agreed?
Yeah.
Do you believe in the Big Bang?
Yes, I do.
Isn't that exactly what the Big Bang is? A bunch of power just went kaboom and supposedly ordered everything?
Yes, but
you
also
just
a lot
said
of
that uncontrolled power doesn't order everything.
It's controlled order and disorder at the same time.
So an explosion is at least partially a controlled order.
To some extent, yes.
Could you recreate that experiment?
No.
I don't think so either. If you put dynamite underneath a stack of letters, it's not going to blow up and form in a book, is it?
Right. But it's consistent in the fact that you're still having the same amount of energy before and afterwards.
All right. I'm guessing you don't believe in God, correct?
No, I do.
You do?
Yes.
That's goofy. Okay, who do you think God is?
The creator of everything.
And how did he create everything?
I don't know.
He big banged it?
I think, personally, he just put it there and then the universe just formed itself.
Ordered itself.
Yeah, and he just pushed it along in the way that he deemed appropriate, I guess.
Have we seen an experiment where anything orders itself? Okay, for instance, you're holding a sandwich. Nobody would ever walk up and go, hey, how did that randomly form? They'd go, where'd you get your sandwich? Because they knew somebody had to make that thing. Because you've got an organized product.
Right.
You've got a very organized product. Intuitively, we say, somebody made this thing. It's clear and obvious there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is, who is that God?
I personally think so, but that doesn't mean...
Who do you think God is?
I don't know. It's a difficult question. Who do you think God is?
I'm a Christian, so I believe in the God of the Bible, who spoke the world into existence by the power of his word, because he's infinitely powerful, infinitely brilliant, and he designed it all and controls it all, organized it all, is involved in it all, including you. He designed you. He knit you together in your mother's womb, the Bible says. You are more intricately designed than the entire planet. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who I think God is. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. But you kind of wandered away?
Doesn't everyone?
Yeah. Mostly, yeah. Mm. I think so. Why did you wander away?
I don't know. I just started questioning things, and I almost feel
What was the biggie, dude? What was the big question?
Just how can I, put my faith in something that I don't see? I mean, with a background in science, it's really conflicting because you've got all these laws, as you mentioned earlier, that are very controlled, and you're expected to just make this leap of faith and believe in something that you can't see necessarily.
Do you believe that Abraham Lincoln existed?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's in the history books.
Okay. God is in a book called the Bible.
Right.
But it's more reliable than any history book.
But again, you're taking a leap of faith that Abraham Lincoln made or existed during that time.
Well, it could be taking a leap of faith, and I think that faith is required, but I think all the evidence supports that faith.
Mm-hmm.
There's reasons to trust the history books. There's eyewitnesses who saw Abe Lincoln. They wrote it down. There's eyewitnesses who saw Jesus. They wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
And if God can create a world, he can get you a book to tell you who he is.
Right. I'm not saying that I still don't believe that, I'm a practicing Christian now.
You are?
So, yes. Right. So I understand that, that was just, during that time period, I was just having a little bit of conflicting issues with that, just making the, decision to just stick to what, I believe.
So why do you want to stick to it? What has motivated you now to stick to it?
It feels right,
What if it gets hard? What if I came up and I was a different religion and I wanted to persecute you? I wanted to haul you off to the gulag and torture you.
And I suppose I would have to succumb to that torture.
Would you still believe?
Yes.
Why?
There's just a connection that you can't really describe. You just feel.
Mm-hmm. But what if that feeling goes away?
I don't see how it could.
Getting tortured in a gulag might help.
I mean...
How did you become a Christian?
Just reading the Bible, meeting other Christians, sharing experiences.
Are you born again?
Yes.
When?
About 2 years ago.
What happened?
I don't know. As I said, I just slipped. My faith just kind of slipped away. I just started questioning everything.
Mm-hmm.
Why are bad things happening? Not necessarily to me, just everywhere. How can the world have so much order? But then you realize that there's something just manipulating everything. And yes.
But how did you become a Christian? What took place?
I don't really think there's...
Did you make a decision in your brain?
I guess...
Or did you just kind of... It just started feeling good and you just kind of kept going?
It was very gradual.
All right. Did you repent?
Yes.
All right. So if you died right now, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven. Yeah. Why?
Because I do what's not necessarily the right thing. It's because, like, regardless of... That's terrible. I was going to say, regardless of what you do, Jesus died for your sins, so your sins are going to be accounted for. But, I mean, I try to do the right thing, and everyone messes up. I mean, that's directly from the Bible. Like, not word for word, but...
Okay.
Humans aren't perfect.
So what does your doing good have to do with going to heaven?
I think God would rather have you not do
bad
things.
Does your doing good help you to get to heaven?
I don't believe so.
What helps you to get to heaven?
I don't have belief.
Okay. In?
God, Jesus.
There you go. All right, dude. Thanks for the chat.
All right.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the sandwich.
Thank you.
All right.
Gotta go to class, so
yep.
Watching that game.
Yep. Alrighty. We'll continue on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young man, where are you headed right now?
Back to my dorm if I can go up to the TRC building.
Can I walk with you and talk to you on the radio while you're going? I won't slow you down.
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, dude. First year?
Yeah, first year.
What are you studying? Keep walking, dude. I don't want to slow you down.
Not
I mean it.
Computer science.
Computer science. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Some kind of programmer. Not really sure yet.
So making sure all the stuff lines up so that you get the thing to work.
Pretty much. Making sure you don't have to throw your computer out the window. Getting pissed off.
Got it. You can. It's pretty obvious, I think, by now. I have no idea about anything in computers, isn't it?
Just a bit. It's all right there.
But see, that's why God made people like you.
Exactly.
So the people like me could have the stuff you make, and then you can have the stuff that I make.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not sure you'd be interested in the stuff that I make. But okay, so dude, you're studying that. Where are you from?
From Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia, yeah.
Right here in the Bible Belt.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So are you a Bible Belter yourself?
Bible Belter?
Yeah.
Wouldn't call myself that now.
No, what would you call yourself?
I don't know. Player from Atlanta?
No, religiously.
Oh, religiously. Agnostic.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I just don't know what to believe, pretty much. There's, millions of people in one religion, millions of people in another religion. Who's to say what's right? Who's right about stuff,
I think I am. Kidding. Okay.
Gotcha.
So, you're trying to figure it out. Are you hostile toward the idea, or are you just trying to figure it out?
Just trying to figure it out. Not hostile.
When you were a kid, did your parents take you to church?
Yeah, all the time.
But now you're trying to figure it out. What kind of church did they take you to?
A United Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm. So what was the big teaching? Which way are you going? This way?
That's right.
Which way? What was the big teaching of the United Methodist Church? What was the big kaboom, their big selling point?
Big selling point? In general, just... It's a pretty laid-back kind of church. So they just wanted you to kind of be a good person in general. Uh-huh. Not really...
Are you a good person?
I guess. I mean, how do you define a good person?
I would say the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments, okay.
You want to go with them?
Yeah, sure. I'm pretty sure I follow the Ten Commandments.
Seriously?
Maybe not all of them, but...
Any of them? Which one do you follow?
No, I say I do follow them, not.
So you think you keep all the commandments?
Not all of them, no.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, okay, well, you got me there.
How many things have you stolen in your life?
Not many.
But you've done it.
That's true, I guess.
All right, so there goes that one. All right, have you coveted things that don't belong to you?
Yeah, that's true.
Ever
I haven't really been over the commandments in a while.
Oh. Ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
That's blasphemy. Has God always been first in your life?
No.
All righty, so that'd be number one.
It's going down real fast.
It's very bad right now. Okay, lust. What about sexual desires?
Got that too.
Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
However, the Bible says that if you are just angry at somebody, you're driving down the road, you think they're a moron, then you've committed murder in your heart, because God goes beyond seeing the physical actions, but also what's going on between our ears, what's going on in our heart. So in a sense, you're a murderer at heart, correct?
I guess. I mean, just because you're angry at somebody doesn't mean you're going to murder them.
No, it doesn't mean that. You're correct. But you have in your mind, if you will. You haven't physically killed them, but in your heart you have.
That's not really how I see it, but I guess some people can look
at it. But you can kind of see the thinking behind that, right?
It's a little extreme, but
all right, so which one of the commandments have you kept? Did you honor your parents growing up all the time?
Not all the time, but a good majority of the time.
Right, but that good minority that you weren't, you were a naughty child and you dishonored mom and dad.
I guess so, yeah.
Uh-huh. So which one of the commandments have you kept?
Well, try to remember all the commandments.
The only one I left out, I think, so far is the Sabbath. Have you kept the Sabbath holy?
Sabbath holy. It's a good question. Not really sure.
All right. Did you go to church every Sunday?
I used to.
Okay, but you haven't been.
Not recently, no.
All right, so let's call that a violation of number five. Okay. Number four, I'm sorry. Okay, so, dude, you haven't kept... We went through all 10. You haven't kept any of them.
Was that all 10?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're really going to count the murder thing in your mind, that's a little... ridiculous,
okay,
in my opinion.
Okay, so let's even give you a pass on that one. All right?
Okay.
So commandment number six you have kept in thought, word, and deed. All right? You've broken the 9 of them.
Okay, and it's small forms, though. I mean, it's not like, okay, for lying, it's not like I've, stolen millions of dollars from somebody. It's not like I've, cheated on someone's wife or something,
Right. That, though, would be like a criminal justifying his crimes before the judge, right? Because the question is not what does the criminal think about the extent of his crimes, but what does the judge think about the crimes, correct?
Okay.
Right? Now, here's why those crimes would be really bad. While we're walking, if you and I stepped on an ant, is anybody going to arrest us?
No.
All right. But you murdered an ant, correct?
It's true, yeah.
All right. Now, if you murder a bum in downtown Atlanta, what do you think is going to happen to you?
I mean, I guess depending on the circumstances, not much.
Not much. Yeah, but a little something, a little more.
I mean, psychologically, yeah, but...
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you fly to Washington and kill the president, what's going to happen?
You're going to get arrested very fast.
All right. Philosophy question.
Okay.
You've committed the same crime, but okay. You've received a different punishment. What changed in the scenario?
The person's status in society.
That is correct.
Okay.
The one against whom you have committed the crime.
Right.
When you lie and lust and get angry at people and dishonor your parents, you are committing your crime not just against people, but against the creator of the universe.
Okay.
The infinitely holy one has been offended. Therefore, your crimes are worthy of an infinite punishment. Make sense? So you don't think they're bad, but
no.
That's irrelevant. What does God think about them? And he thinks they are exceedingly sinful.
Okay, but according to my church, God loves you, and if you confess your sins, you know, at least make a decent effort to be a good person in life, then he'll forgive you.
Well, I think that's warm, at least. I agree with you. God is loving, and he is good. But he's also just, and he's righteous, and he must punish lawbreakers.
Okay.
Because if he doesn't, then he wouldn't be just. So here's, we got ourselves some tension.
Okay.
All right, here's the setting. You die. You're guilty before God.
Okay.
All right? He must punish you because he is righteous and just.
Okay?
Okay. But God is rich in mercy, and he desires to forgive you.
Okay.
But he can't turn a blind eye to justice, and he can't just let you in because that wouldn't be good. So here's the plan. To satisfy the tension, if you will,
okay,
of God, who must punish you, but who claims to love you,
okay,
he sent his son, whose name is
Jesus,
the perfect God-man, to keep all the commandments that you have broken, to be punished by men, to have the wrath of God poured out on him on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve, the good man, Jesus, dying for you, the bad man,
okay,
so that his goodness can be credited to your account and your badness credited to his account.
Sounds familiar.
All right. Now, that's the good news. But instead of just confessing sins and trying to be good, instead you must repent. You must agree with God. He is the only true and living God.
Okay.
You've broken his laws. You are worthy of eternal damnation. You've earned that all by yourself, and he'll give it to you. But that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for you, rise from the dead, and you say you're sorry, you turn from your sins, doesn't mean you become perfect, but you move in a new direction with a new heart, new desires, and you trust in Jesus and him alone. And he says if you do that, then you will be forgiven.
Okay.
Then you will go to heaven because God has satisfied justice and he has demonstrated his love toward you. That's
okay.
The gospel.
Cool.
Here's the question. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
Not as recently.
Ever?
Yeah, for a while, when I was younger.
Okay. But the Bible talks about it as being born again, when you die to yourself, and you turn from your sins, and you trust his son.
Okay.
It is a radical thing where you say, I'm all done.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have done everything wrong. I've been living for myself.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. And you've surrendered your self-righteousness, and you've put your trust in his son and him alone. And since that time, you've been different. You have new passions, new desires. And while you certainly can go to college to become a computer engineer, your primary desire in life is your God, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Does that describe you?
Not at all.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough, dude.
Pretty
That's
much,
honest.
Yeah.
Okay. So, dude, as you wander on your way here, if you died right now, you have God's word on it.
Okay.
He'll send you to hell.
But, okay, according to your God, yeah.
Well, according to what the Bible says, okay?
Right.
So, right now, you die,
okay.
You're going to hell. That's a sober thought. You're a young man.
Okay.
But God desires to save you.
Uh-huh.
But you need to drop the agnosticism, drop the sins, and put your trust in his son. And he will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life.
I mean, that sounds great and all, but my only problem with anything like that is that you know, there's the Quran, there's other faiths like that. They have millions and millions and millions of followers.
Yep. So. But millions of followers doesn't make something right.
Okay,
Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and said, what is truth? That is a big question,
so
probably bigger than ever.
My question about religion is that how can you say that you're right when and say other people are wrong when they have... I mean, it's just all the support for other religions. It's just that, I don't know. I'm just fumbling my
words. Well, I would... You know what, dude? I'd encourage you to check them out. Your conscience, the courtroom in your brain, agrees that you've done wrong.
Okay.
Go find a religion that eases your conscience and your troubled mind. And satisfies that nagging feeling that, wow, I am in big trouble. See if you can find forgiveness in Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Islam, you name it.
Okay.
It's not there.
All right.
All right? So, dude, check them out.
Sure thing.
All right?
I'll do that.
The only religion that offers forgiveness is Christianity and Jesus Christ. Hey, Methodist, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
All right. See you, mate. Goodbye. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.